come stop and take a trip down on my block, where you see hidden potential, young minds sharper than pencil, and ain't afraid to speak their mind if they got something against you. We standing with you, we tackle issues like civic pride. Hate will cease to exist, just put our differences aside. From my side to your side, from Dutch Town to South Side, from Penrose to North Side, from Benton Park to Old North, to West End to West Side. We blessed when we step out, we stand down, rise up, stand together, wise up.
This is Stitchcast Studio, produced by St. Louis Story Stitchers in St. Louis, Missouri.
In this week's episode, youth leaders discuss the high rates of gun violence and the related trauma in St. Louis with their special guest, rap artist and political activist, Cedric Redmond, a.k.a. C Sharp.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.
So, since we have Mr. C Sharp with us here today, I want to actually ask you if you could kind of, you know, give a brief overview of who you are for some of the youth council members that may not know you.
I am C Sharp, Hip Hop Artist of the Year, Song of the Year winner, first ever youth ambassador for the city of St. Louis. And right now, I just currently serve as an ambassador for our government and our other elected officials who need that reliable community voice and the person that can mobilize people, you know.
Yeah.
I'm one of those cats, you know, that you've seen everywhere. I don't hide, so yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you, you know, for just all the work you've done and for our city, you know, and people that look like me and you. So I'll just kind of jump into it, you know, because we all have relatively young voices. I would say even you, Mr. C Sharp, even though you're a little bit older than us, OGs, we still call you a youngin'. But much respect here. But, you know, to anybody really, how has gun violence affected your community? You know, like, what are the effects? What are the outcomes that you've seen firsthand?
You know, my mama told me, she said, if you have the ability to tell people to put their hands up, then you have the ability to tell people to put the guns down. And, you know, she told me that, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna just go ahead and write this song. And the thing that makes it interesting is that a lot of unfortunate things had to happen for me to be popular. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people had to lose their life, you know, in order for me to have an opportunity to go and do some type of balloon release or some type of funeral or anti-violent rally or something like that. You know, it's kind of bittersweet, you know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, you know, you won Song of the Year, but it's like every time you perform that song, it's almost like somebody died, you know? So it just really, really humbled me every time I got ready to do it. And I made sure that I did the record, you know, just to put a positive energy anywhere I was. But how it's affecting me, man, 2 years ago, I was on my way to play rehearsal. And you know how Real STL News sometimes put those collages of people up who have been killed over a certain amount of time. You know what I'm saying? And I look at that collage and I see my homegirl thinking like, you know, come on, cuz, you know, it's like, why is Whitney on this mural? You know, to be honest with you, I know her for 10 years, man. And I mean, I've lost some cats, you know, and I've heard, you know, some horrific stories about how people have, you know, lost their life or even what it was over or what it was about. But to have lost Whitney, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that, you know, that I went to go spend time with on a regular basis, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody who I could look forward to calling me every now and then. And it took me a long time to compose myself on my way to that rehearsal, you know. And even when I got there, man, I was just inconsolable, you know. The part that I was playing was pretty significant to the point to where if I could not perform, there were people who weren't going to be able to get their work in. So you know, after about an hour and a half of, you know, completely like crying my eyes out, you know, I had to swallow it, man, and go in there and do a play. And it makes you think differently. Like, you know, when people say, I dedicate this to this person, or I dedicate this to that person, you know, I mean, that just hit completely differently. You know what I'm saying? At that time. So, I still feel that to this day. So that is really like the closest to home that violence has probably ever hit me. I'm lucky enough to never lose any brothers or cousins or anything like that, you know. But it doesn't hurt any less, you know. So yeah. That's one of my motivations, you know, for getting out here and doing this.
Yeah, definitely. I've lost some people to gun violence too. For me, it was at an age where I wasn't really able to understand, you know, because it was like me and a guy, you know, well, all of us that were in the eighth grade were just transitioning into our freshman year. You know, we were all like excited and happy about it, you know, not even like a whole month into our freshman year, we hear somebody that we was close to in middle school, you know what I'm saying, got shot. And it's gone forever, you know. Like, I was so like not able to believe it, so much so to where I couldn't even go to the candlelight, you know. And people were mad at me for it, but it was like I just couldn't go. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, it wasn't registering right, you know. So I was trying to keep busy, you know, because I didn't know how to deal with that, especially at that age. It was crazy. So yeah, I understand. And I've had some people around me who have been victims of gunshot wounds, but luckily, you know, they survived. Every time I hear something, you know, or even think about, you know, people that I've lost to gun violence, it just makes me cherish life, you know, more than what I already do, because it's just like at any moment, you know.
Me and my friend, like, we was at her apartment just chilling. And like, out of nowhere, we heard pop, pop, pop. We didn't even flinch. That's how much we were used to it. We didn't even flinch. We were like, oh, yeah, there's no shoot. I mean, the fact that we hear it so much that we just pawned it off as another something that just happens every day. The fact that I can go on my phone every day and see pizza delivery man robbed at gunpoint, white couple got shot at gunpoint by two black males, like the fear mongering that goes on in the media. Is wrong, because that's just how we were raised, and that's how I think it's wrong that that's how we were raised in the ghetto. That's like, we were raised to just resort to violence instead of thinking for ourselves. And so yeah, that's my take on gun violence.
So where do y'all think that the violence stems from, you know, to make a person want to take somebody else's life?
I think a lot of it comes from anger, and a lot of people are you know, products of their environment, you know what I'm saying? So if they grow up with this being the norm, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them, that's what they're gonna perpetuate. But I think the hardest thing about it, especially when you lose somebody close to you, knowing that it could have been avoided, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't something like cancer, you know what I'm saying? It's nearly impossible to beat or nothing like that. A lot of this stuff feels like it's by choice, especially to people that aren't necessarily a part of their life. You know what I'm saying? And, E knows, I just lost a friend recently, earlier this year, and they actually turned their gun on themselves, supposedly. You know, that's rough. And I think a lot of it comes from people not knowing how to process certain emotions and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this is when you grow up in this survival mentality, a lot of that be kind of hard to shake, even if you end up in an environment where you no longer necessarily have to have that survival mentality. You know what I'm saying? Just last night, people were shooting outside. You know what I'm saying? And after the shooting stopped, I ran out there to check on whoever got hit. You know what I'm saying? It looked like nobody got hit, but it was a bunch of people running toward the alley with their guns or whatever to retaliate at whoever just got through shooting. So a lot of people, this is such a normal part of life. You know what I'm saying? That it's really hard to break them away from that. Like I said, one of the hardest parts, at least for me, is losing somebody to something that I feel like could have been avoided. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you know, sometimes I think a lot of this stuff is accidental, you know? Like, I really don't think a lot of people be trying to kill people. You know, I think, like, sometimes, you know, you have a shooting and somebody gets struck. You know, and you find out, you know, later on down the road, you know what I'm saying, that the dude ended up dying. Now, there are a lot of things to where you got, you know, some very, very intentional, targeted, you know, people. But when it comes to, like, a lot of these women and a lot of these young girls and a lot of these kids, a lot of the stuff that's really, really, you know, traumatizing us when we wake up in the morning, you know, about what we seeing happening, you know, the people, defenseless people, you know, it's not even people with guns that's dying anymore. It's people without them, you know, people that's not even carrying them. They have nothing to do with gang violence, you know, gang activity. And for some reason, they get caught in all the crossfire and they get caught in all the chaos. So for me, I just want to see it kind of, you know, just stop altogether. Like, there's really no reason to be walking around with an assault rifle in your neighborhood. I mean, for what? I mean, there are some weapons that you use for defense, but then there are some weapons that you know are strictly for offense. Like, you know, you can't do anything else with that. You don't need that much to defend yourself, you know? So, I mean, for me, you know, fortunately, you know, I didn't grow up in a situation where I had to make a lot of those decisions to where, you know, I had to lean on other people for guidance. So I can't say I can walk in the shoes of those who have. But one thing I can say is that everybody has a choice, you know what I'm saying, somewhere down the line. I mean, you may not have recognized it or you may not have taken that choice. But, man, everybody has a choice. And, you know, there's some people that tell me, like, man, some people are just born into it, you know. So I don't know, man.
I would like to ask you, though, you know, for maybe some young guy may come across this podcast and hear, you know, what are, like, ways that you, you know, when you were coming up, stayed out of trouble and stayed out of, you know, harm's way?
Right. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I did things that anybody's done at some point in time and lived to tell about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, Sue Sharp has never done anything, you know, and that's not the case. But what I am saying is that music saved my life, you know. Music, you know, gave me an opportunity to write about a future that I didn't know, you know, was possible, and it gave me something to go after. Music, you know, made people listen to me, you know, when I didn't have the center of attention or I didn't know how to grab the floor, you know, I knew how to do something that other people didn't, which was rap or sing, you know, so that was mine. I would say, you know, music broke down a lot of barriers as far as me meeting people because I didn't have a choice. You know, I had to get out there and let people know who I was and how my product and my sound is going to benefit this industry. You know, it just cracked a lot of shells, you know, in me, you know, and it brought me out of a lot of boxes and it allowed me to think outside the box. And I pray, you know, that everybody gets an opportunity to find something that they like to spend their time on, you know. I'm a guy that I don't count days, you know, because days aren't promised. You're better off counting hours. And, you know, if you're doing things by the hour and making each hour count, then it's inevitable to make each day count. So music was one thing for me that allowed a lot of that mental blockage or some of that, you know, demonic or, you know, just vengeful thoughts, you know what I'm saying, that I may have had. And it never asked any questions. It never, you know, gave any advice. All it did was listen. You know, so that was probably what got me out of a lot of trouble. So for a lot of people, I just hope that they find something that they enjoy doing and spend their time on it, you know, and hopefully if it's not making you successful, you know, you see that at a point to where you have enough time to think about doing something else.
For sure, for sure. Has anybody came across any ideas or have any ideas or seen anything, you know, get put into action on trying to help in this crisis that we're facing?
For me, in high school, there was this assistant coach. He would always talk to the boys and girls about, you know, whether it was like basketball or football, or he would say, you know, I'm running a boxing ring. You can join that. You can learn self-defense. You know, you can go up to the person and fight them with your hands. You don't need, like, to, like, fatally hurt somebody.
I agree with that 100%. Somebody was talking about that earlier, you know, about people not wanting to use their fists no more. Nobody want to talk it out no more. Everybody just want to use guns. Anybody else have anything?
Well, I don't even really know if I would call this an idea, but I think as far as individuals, you know what I'm saying, you just got to be more a part of the solution than you are a part of the problem. The more and more people that, you know what I'm saying, become part of the solution, I think that's how we win it, you know what I'm saying? Continue to promote positivity. And I wish that more celebrities, I guess, I wish more celebrities would be, you know what I'm saying, kind of, I guess, a little more responsible in their rhetoric. You know what I'm saying? Being that a lot of them have so much influence that all they have to do is say that something's okay or something's not okay, and hundreds of thousands of people will follow them in that. You know what I'm saying? That's not, I think the people with the biggest influences, you know what I'm saying? Or I guess I don't even know if responsible is the right word, but I definitely wish they were more willing, you know what I'm saying, to speak on behalf of some of the things that a lot of them remain quiet about.
Yeah. And I actually would give props to Kendrick, though, because he talked a lot of, you know, he had that scene in Good Kid, Mad City where his homeboy got shot and they were trying to get revenge. But I think somebody ended up talking him out of it, you know.
So, yeah. Yeah. You know, Kendrick has always been a conscious, you know what I'm saying, promote the right stuff type of artist. You know what I'm saying? People like him, Cole, all of them, you know what I'm saying, they make a song here and there about a girl or something like that, but they've always mainly promoted the right stuff.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's that time again for our Stitchcast Studio Arts Interlude. Come on, y'all, let's pick the city up. This week, we have an original spoken word piece from our special guest, C Sharp. Let's take a listen.
Before I blew up, I reminisce on the times on the city's north side where I had grew up, where you either claimed a gang or you was dealing the drugs. You had real gangsters, but then you had some wannabe thugs, right? But most of us ain't wannabe thugs, we just ain't have no money, car, crib, or maybe all the above. And education wasn't all great, cause all we did was shoot dice, get in fights, and chase chicks up in the hallway. A young teen, but we still had dreams, trying to put the pieces together to what it all means. And struggling was all I seen mom doing. My daddy wasn't around, matter of fact, I never knew him. But it's all cool, cause my mama raised a man out of little dude. And even though it hurts right now, we heal soon. I ain't mess with too many others, I just stayed to myself, cause I'm thinking I knew it all and I ain't need any help. But I looked at life, and I began to fight for it. Got good with words, and I began to write more. That's when I began to record. I was liberated more when feeling the same anger I was feeling just before. Music was mediation. I followed my mentors to say you gotta get mine just like you gotta get yours. But once I got a taste of how success be, I swear to being in the hood, it's more stress free. But I admit that through it all, the God's blessed me. I'm staying prayed up because the devil still tests me with all the pressure just to make it in the biz, making sure you never send the wrong message to the kids. Cause I just want to tell you about the way life is, because the hard time a rap about can mean another child lives.
But actually, Sharp, I wanted to ask you about what you doing, your positive thing and whatnot. What is it like facing, you know what I'm saying, backlash from stuff like that? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people, they don't want to hear the positive stuff. They want to hear something they can twerk to or ride to or something. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of stuff a lot of people be wanting to hear. What is it like having to go through that?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, that actually was a great question. Here's the thing about that. You can't be concerned whether people are going to celebrate to your message or not. You just want to make sure that it got across. You know what I'm saying? And as long as you make sure that they heard it, you know, everybody's not going to react the same way. Some people react right then and right there. Some people take them a little time, you know, for it to sink in. So the best thing that you can do is make sure that you do your due diligence to perfect your message so that when you got their attention, you know, that you're saying the things that you need to say. And also, you know, you mentioned about how nobody wants to hear positive music or nobody's really checking for it. You're right. And the thing about positive music is that the ones that's listening to it are already kind of knowing right from wrong.
Exactly.
And the ones that you made it for, you're trying to reach those that are doing other things. You know what I'm saying? But they're not gravitating to that. So you're kind of preaching to the choir. If it weren't for rap, okay, I doubt that I would have been able to get into some of the settings and some of the arenas to where these kids were. Now, you know, because it was rap, you know, they put me in front of them, you know, and they said, okay, go do your thing. Yeah. And that's how I said, you know, when you got their attention, you gotta have your message down pat. But one thing I can say is that you make positive music to try to get that to the people that you feel like need to hear it. But unfortunately, it never seems to reach them. You know, but that should stop you from making
most stuff.
That should really just either help you reinvent your vibe as far as what gospel music has done now. I mean, gospel music now has turned into trap music, and they did it because a lot of people would listen to the message of gospel music, but the beats were not gravitating, was not pulling you in. So they had to step outside the box a little bit and perfect their message. And now you have a lot of the people dancing and jiving. They wouldn't even know that they were listening to a gospel song.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even know. And then by the time that, you know, they actually start listening to it, it grows on them. And then that's what the effect you have. So, yeah, I mean, it is a little difficult, man, when you try to get up there and tell everybody, hey, y'all, we need to stop the killing. We need to stop the shooting, especially when the act before you just got up there and talked about every gun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just got to stay true to who you are. You got to believe in your message. And you got to make sure that, you know, it's not about having everybody know your name. It's about having everybody know your message.
I do have a question for you, C-Sharp. Maybe there might be some young folks or just people in general that might be listening to this that are like, you know, well, I don't rap. I don't sing. You know, like, I don't do none of that. Like, what are ways you would say that they could still help, you know, to try to end this crisis?
Okay, so you're saying that for people that are not creative, how can they create?
Or how could they help bring awareness to the violence, you know, gun violence? How could they, you know, bring more awareness to the situation, you know, or how could they help end the crisis?
Just by example, you know, I think he said, like, the more people that are a part of the solution, that's the less people that's a part of the problem. So you have to make sure that you're doing it by example. You know, the type of life that you're living and the type of energy that you're putting out. Like, I mean, if I have friends, you know, I'm going to make sure that my friends are of a same caliber, you know, as me. And as a friend, I'm going to try to do my best to either elevate them, you know, educate them, uplift them, empower them, you know what I'm saying, whatever it takes. But, you know, there are some things you just have to either, you know, move on, you know, let go of. So the best thing you can do is by example. You know, if you hate people saying, you know, disrespecting Black people, then don't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if the N-word is a bad word for somebody to say to us, then that means it's a bad word for you to say to them. You know, like, lead by example. Talk about, you know, you raising your kids right, or practicing abstinence, or getting married first, or, you know, like, don't just talk about it either. But I mean, let people know what's on your mind. And don't be afraid to lose some people along the way, you know what I'm saying? Because that's a part of the process. Trees lose leaves, but they always get more, you know what I'm saying? I think people are afraid to lose sometimes, and that can hold you back. For those that are looking to make a difference but don't have a whole lot to say, at least be the change that you want to see.
The show. I want to ask y'all too, what advice would you give to someone who has lost a loved one to gun violence, you know, and they're still seeking justice, or maybe somebody has lost a loved one to gun violence and they're ready to, you know, give up or something? What advice would y'all give to someone who's in, you know, a tough situation like that?
For me, I would tell them to not give up. Justice doesn't always come when we want it, but it usually does come. So that's what I would say.
I would first of all tell them, you know what I'm saying, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling hurt, if you're feeling broken, whatever it is, it's okay to feel that. That's a human emotion. That's natural to losing somebody, you know what I'm saying, or whatever the case is. It's okay to feel that. Feel that, scream, shout, whatever you got to do. But understand, first of all, understand that there's a time when that feeling is going to leave. So I would try to urge against them not doing anything that they'll have to deal with after they're no longer angry. You know, it's really hard to comfort somebody in a loss, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you know that's not a loss. When you lose somebody like a person, you can't get that back.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? You can learn how to live without that love no more, you know what I'm saying? But you don't get that back. So I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even pretend to be like, yo, you're going to see him again and all that. You know what I'm saying? Even if I do believe that, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times people just can't hear it with everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I would first let them know that it's okay to feel what you're feeling. And after you're done feeling that, be a part of the solution. So I would say commit yourself to being a part of the solution so that what you're going through or what they had to go through, you know what I'm saying? Nobody else has to go through that.
Yeah.
For me, you know, I would say, you know, let this time, you know, bring you closer to other people. Bring you closer to people that matter. Start thinking about things, you know, beyond you. You know, what type, you know, legacy you want to leave behind. And, you know, start thinking about how you want to be remembered. That's what I would say. I mean, I'm terrified to die. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the pastor said, you know, young people go to it, but it comes for older people. You know what I'm saying? Young people go to death, but death comes for older folks. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. We just have to make sure, like, the things that we're walking into are about life, man. Like, you know, I lost my grandmother, but it brought me closer to my aunties. You know what I'm saying? And it's just supposed to draw you closer to people that, you know, that you still have, and just, you know, make sure you realize what's important, you know.
I agree with everybody, you know, kind of piggyback off of everybody. You know, like, don't give up. Definitely stay hopeful. And I've heard them say a lot of times, you know, an idle mind is the devil's playground. You don't want to, like, let yourself, you know, just fall off on the deep end. Have somebody there, you know, to cry on their shoulder. You know, it's okay to cry, like Brandon said. It's okay to have those emotions, to be angry.
But it's got to turn into an energy. Like,
absolutely.
Crying and all that stuff is cool, you know what I'm saying? But you only have so many tears.
Yeah.
And once you run out of tears, then it turns into anger and the hate and spite. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, before you run out of energy, you know what I'm saying? Because do you know how much energy it takes to cry?
Yeah,
right.
I felt it before, yeah.
See what I'm saying? So they say it takes more muscles to cry than it does to smile. You see what I'm saying? You know, yeah, I might have cried about Whitney for an hour and a half and maybe even a couple days after that. But that energy made me say, you know what? I am going to be a part of what solves every homicide in the city of St. Louis. Like, I am going to be a part of whatever I have to be a part of to make sure that nobody has to feel that ever again. So, you know, to this day, you know, I used to be able to say her name and always tear up. But now it's like I say her name and know that, you know, we're doing something, you know.
Yeah. It's true. I would even encourage people, you know, have people around them that will lift you up, you know, and be around people that encourage you to stay down. So, yeah, definitely.
I've got a question for y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if anybody's ever heard this. It's a psychology question straight out of Georgia Tech. Thank me later.
All right.
Who on here can tell me how to eat an elephant?
How to eat an elephant?
Yeah.
In pieces, I would imagine. You know what I'm saying? In pieces,
that's
I would
what
imagine.
Said. Yeah. What does everybody else say?
You can't. I don't know.
Is somebody else on here?
I'm thinking the same thing. You can't eat the whole thing.
Man, you right. Do you gotta eat the whole thing? Am I thinking too deep into it?
You gotta eat the whole thing.
You gotta eat the whole thing.
You gotta eat the whole thing and some.
Yo, 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 mm-hmm.
That's crazy because my first initial mindset, eat the whole thing. But then I was thinking, like, literally, like, my belly couldn't take all of it.
That, but yo,
did you hear what he said, though? You got to eat the whole thing and then some.
So I'm finna tell you.
Right, go ahead, teach me.
I'm going to tell you how to eat an elephant. You eat an elephant piece by piece, one bite at a time, okay? Now, I'm not talking about an animal with tusks and a trunk. And the elephant is anything that appears bigger than you.
Yep.
So when you're dealing with something, you have to look at it like the elephant and say, okay, how am I going to eat the elephant? For example, how do we combat things like gun violence? All right, well, let's look at the elephant. We need to educate ourselves on gun laws. We need to make sure that we have a relationship with the police officers in our community so they know our name, you know, who they are. We need to look at, you know, how we are, you know, promoting gun use and the things like that. Like, there's things that we can do to eat this elephant, you know.
Yeah.
Even with hip-hop. So when you think about what you want to do, say, all right, I have to eat the elephant, you know. I have to eat the elephant, you know, piece by piece, one bite at a time. And you find something that you love to do, and you do it piece by piece.
Thank you for listening. And last but not least, we want to give a very special shout out to the Stitchcast Studio sponsors. The City of St. Louis Youth at Risk Crime Prevention Grant of 2020, Stewart Family Foundation, Spirit of St. Louis Women's Fund, and Missouri Foundation for Health. To learn more, visit storystitchers.org.
They say who that, but you already knew that. That beat them Story Stitchers.
Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers, Story Stitchers.